It's time for another dose of Buffa. Now, back to Dan Buffa on CBS Sports. 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Bill?
Yeah, hey, Dan.
What's going on, man? These are
not too much.
Chris is not messing around. These are great microphones. What's going on, man? Thanks for taking some time.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Well, you know, it's the dog days of summer in August. The baseball season's going pretty fast. We're going to talk about some hockey first.
All right.
Hopefully it'll make us feel a little cooler and colder here in the summer. This is my co-host Matt Whitener on the line, too.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'm Matt. How you doing?
Good.
All right. Well, earlier last week we had like the official press conference of the Blues and Blackhawks. I want to know at what point did this kind of become a reality and move away from being kind of a dream?
Well, I think probably about a year ago we started to get some indications from the Blues, who were getting them from the NHL, that you know, we might be considered for an outdoor game. And, you know, that's after really a few years of, you know, persistent needling, mainly of me to the Blues and the Blues to the NHL. And, of course, you know, they would have probably done it even without my needling, but because they were interested in trying to get this done as well. So we finally got those indications and then had some meetings with the NHL and, you know, started to negotiate, you know, what that might look like from a venue standpoint. So, you know, because the NHL pretty much has a standard approach to the teams. You know, they need to replace the gate that they're losing and act like it's a home game. And then the venue needs to work out a deal with the NHL on hosting. So that's what we started to get into. And then, you know, we got all the way to being able to announce after getting through that process.
It also comes at a great time, you know, with the city reeling from the loss of the Rams and the Cardinals and the Blues coming together. Seeing the puck drop at Scott Trade right in that last season really kind of gave us the idea that these two teams could come together. And it's been a very subtle kind of connection with the Blues. You guys can work together really well, and now it's kind of led to this. Are you guys going to have a little – is there going to be a Tom Stillman, Bill DeWitt, the third faceoff at center ice before the real players get out there?
Well, he is my line mate on occasion in the Blues alumni skates, which we have fun and just fill in for guys, and we have a good time. But, you know, I think we'll probably do some kind of alumni skate. It'll be a good time. Of course, the Winter Classic is on that Monday, and then for the rest of that week in early January, we'll do some community events and skates. And I think I'll probably find myself lacing them up a little bit that week if I get my way.
Talking to Bill DeWitt III, president of the St. Louis Cardinals, discussing the Winter Classic, which is just, man, it seems like it's rolling right in. It's less than 140 days now. What's the preparation going to be like, and how many people are you guys going to be able to stuff into that stadium? I know you guys are going to try to get as much seating as possible.
It'll probably be about 45,000, which is, you know, really just like a sellout in baseball, because you can't really put people on the field, because then as you get up in the field, you know, it's not a very good seat if you're right down there behind the boards. So you have to have a little bit of elevation. And so about 45,000, but it'll definitely be a packed house, and, you know, hopefully and I know it'll be an exciting game. Obviously, Blues-Blackhawks is always a key matchup for both teams. And, you know, now the more recent rivalry's been pretty darn even. And so it's going to be great. I mean, I'm excited. And the amount of enthusiasm that we've seen from our fans and Blues fans and just in general people in the marketplace is you know, as good as anything I've seen other than things that happen, you know, like in the season, like playoffs and World Series, that kind of thing.
Now, leading up to the game, I mean, is this going to be? Have you been talked to about the interaction between the league and like how much do the Cardinals have and with putting this together as far as other than the field with the Blues? Is it more just the Blues or the Hawks and NHL, or how much are the Cardinals and yourself involved?
Well, we are the host, but the Blues really have the playbook, or I should say the NHL has the playbook on how to come in here and transform the field into a hockey rink. And so that's really their responsibility. They come in and do all of that. They bring all the equipment on a million trucks and, you know, the condensers and chillers and the things that make ice happen in an open-air environment like that. And then we really just make sure the building is ready for everybody, you know, whether it's putting heaters in the bathrooms or, you know, winterizing the building so that it's, you know, not on, you know, pipes frozen and all that kind of stuff. Which would, you know, normally we close down the building in the winter and we do events, special events in our interior spaces. And but mostly the concession stands and things are shut down till the spring. In this case, we're going to have to rev them all back up again in possibly really cold weather. So it's quite an operation to be ready for this from our standpoint, the venue standpoint.
Bill, I wanted to redirect you a little bit towards the NFL. You know, we talk about the void in the city with the Rams moving on and how the Winter Classic is filling that area. Looking at what Ballpark Village is capable of and what it's done as far as broadcasting NFL games, do you anticipate any expansion of that this year to kind of help people have somewhere to go that are still looking for that NFL experience in the city?
Sure. We do an NFL sort of watching party every Sunday. We've been doing that the last couple of years. It's been very popular. And I think you'll see even more of that. Obviously, we would, in the past, showcase the Rams game. But now I think we'll showcase, you know, probably the biggest, you know, consensus national game, I would think. Maybe focus a little bit on the Chiefs. I think they're doing some marketing in this marketplace, and that may have some legs to it. But yeah, we're definitely open for, you know, pushing and being more aggressive. We did some giveaways last year for Rams games, and I could see maybe doing that a little bit more as well. And like you said, trying to fill that void.
And before we get too far away from special events at Busch Stadium, I attended the Paul McCartney concert this weekend. It was just a completely different way to see the stadium and to see the skyline of the city or whatnot. When you look at it as being the 10th year of Busch Stadium, and then you look at having Ballpark Village completed and be able to have those type of events there, what does it mean to you to kind of step back and take a look at the venue and the vision kind of come clear in a way like that?
I just love doing these special events because, number one, it showcases the versatility of this venue, which is something we've been trying to get across to our fans. It's not just baseball, but it's also like a community event. You know, when you have 45,000 outdoors with the city view and the arch and the whole bit, you know, you're creating a memory and a moment that the city can be proud of. And I think we've seen that in all the big ones that we've done, whether it's Dave Matthews or the Eagles or U2 or, you know, now Paul McCartney or even the soccer matches that we've had. We've had a football game. Now we're going to have, you know, a hockey game. So I don't know what's next, but our goal is to experiment and find ways to utilize this venue that take advantage of this unique spot that we're in, which is in the heart of downtown. Obviously, we can amplify the energy and the excitement with Ballpark Village being next door. And we're certainly wanting to be aggressive to get more of these types of events to complement what we already do with baseball.
Yeah, well, speaking of that good old game of baseball, the Rogues and Red are keeping us pretty busy this season with their eventful season, is the way to put it lightly. I mean, everybody kind of knows what John Mozeliak does and what, you know, Bill, your dad, Bill DeWitt Jr. does. But what exactly does a president do? It's one of those things that a lot of fans don't really know too much about. Is there baseball activities? Is there non-baseball activities? Well, what is, like, the broad reach of your daily activities?
I would say 95% of my time is spent on business-related and operational-related aspects. And so I'll give you some examples. Certainly the game day experience of the you know, fans and when they come to the ballpark and all that goes and is involved in that, all the behind the scenes operational issues. And in the off season, it's getting the building ready, whether it's big changes in capital projects like the new scoreboards or the seating upgrades or the technology infrastructure stuff like the Wi-Fi we now have. you know, falls under me. And then as well as, you know, everything happening at Ballpark Village, we have a partner in Cordish Company out of Baltimore that helps us run Ballpark Village. But we're also very involved and also involved in the planning for the second phase of Ballpark Village. You've got things like sales and marketing and sponsorship and all the elements of a business like accounting and finance and special projects and business development and league relationship with MLB. All that kind of falls under me as well. And so just like any business, you know, lights have to go on and the, you know, you got to hire people and run a good operation. So that's all part of it too. And then when you get into other strategic business issues, you start thinking about things like, our relationship with our minor league affiliates. You know, we've owned a couple of the clubs and have little pieces or big pieces of, AAA, AA and single A clubs. We work with our partners with the Marlins on spring training and that operation. I work on things like our rights holder relationships with Fox Sports Midwest, of which we have a piece of that RSN now, and big sponsorship renewals in the off season. So I guess that's, I could keep going, but I think that gives you a flavor for the types of things. It's a big business now, and there are a lot of little elements to it and sometimes big elements. And then, oh yeah, we're also putting on baseball games, and that's kind of your other question of maybe 5% of my time, which is, you know, whether it's talking to Mo or my father or thinking through some of the strategic baseball stuff or working with Mo on some of the issues with just his staff as it relates to the scouting operation, the baseball development operation, the employees that he has that all report up through him, all of whom are designed to either help scout and draft players, help develop the players once they're in our system, or to help, you know, really make our decisions based on what's happening at the major league level and the other leagues in terms of all reporting up through Mo and making those decisions.
So, I mean, and basing off a lot of the talks that, I mean, some of the best things I remember with you and I is just kind of talking baseball. Is it hard? I mean, do you have to kind of turn off that hardcore baseball fan when you're the president of the team, or can you just kind of let it kind of, you know, kind of fling around when you're talking to Joe, or you have to kind of keep it tamed down? I know you're like me, you're a big fan. It's ingrained in your blood and your family. Is it kind of hard sometimes to keep that tucked away?
Well, I think it's actually the conversations I have with Mo are fun to have because, you know, I'll sometimes just ask a dumb question, and I know that he won't, like, roll his eyes too badly, because he can't, right? Because, like, I'm right next to him, and it would look bad if he was mean to me. But so I just, I can ask a dumb question, and then he'll fill me in on really what's going on behind the scenes, why that is a dumb question. Or you know, more realistically, I'll just pick his brain on what he's thinking as it relates to certain baseball decisions. And, you know, it's mostly so I'm up to speed on what's going on and what he's thinking, but also it's a little bit of feel for, you know, how's that decision-making process working, you know, not only with Mo, but even with my dad. I mean, because a lot of times their conversations, you know, I'll get some of that from my dad and I'll get some of it from Mo. And once I've properly spoken to both of them, I can sort of piece it all together.
Bill, recently it's been a, you know, as you say, you look at the field, you had a couple of more injuries that are added on to the pile today that's built up around the club with Seth Maness, unfortunately, being announced having Tommy John surgery, and also Matt Holliday having the surgery on the thumb injury he had. Looking at this season and looking where it's at, you're just observing where the team is at. You know, how does this compare to any other years you've seen when you're coming down the stretch and it's getting to be this hardcore part of the pennant chase that's going on now?
You know, I think everybody would tell you that who watches Cardinal baseball closely that this year is just kind of weird. I mean, it's hard to figure out. We've had, in some ways, a flip-flop from last year where, you know, we seemed to win all the close ones. The pitching was the rock that everything flowed from. And, you know, we were just steady. You know, the hitting was a little spotty and a little bit without pop, but it was enough to get the job done. This year, you can just kind of flip it, right? Pitching's been a little inconsistent. Hitters have been great. I mean, they've shown flashes of incredible power. You know, obviously it's sort of up and down. You know, sometimes you need that hit desperately and you don't get it. And then the next game you blow them out 20-0. But, you know, I think you look at run differential and clearly you could say, you know, this is an offense is a plus for us, right? And so it's just, you kind of scratch your head because that isn't really, you know, usually one year plays off of the other, and to see all those categories flip and yet we're still in the race. You know, I think we feel good about our chances to get that wild card spot. Still a outside chance of chasing down the Cubs for the division, but you know, you'd really have to get hot. You know, but I don't see why it isn't possible. I mean, you know, we were, was it 13.5 back in late August in 2011?
Yes,
and made
yeah.
that up.
Oh, yeah.
And squeaked in, and we all know the rest. So there's no reason why that can't happen. It's just we do have to stay healthy, and that hasn't been happening. But I do like the depth that Mo has lined up. We've got some young kids coming up like Weaver and Reyes who figure to be, you know, contributors. And, you know, that bodes well for us.
So, you know, the Cardinals, I mean, they're such a prestigious franchise that, you know, they seem to have a bullseye on their back. And they have teams like the Cubs that have kind of built their club the way that the Cardinals are built. And everybody's always seeming to chase the Cardinal way. I mean, how does that feel? I mean, you know, the Wits have been here for 20 years and you've built a product up from a team that was struggling in the mid-90s. And now, you know, teams are emulating their futures off of you. I mean, how does that feel as you kind of walk into this season and that's more of a struggle than past?
Well, flattery or what is it? The phrase, copying is the best form of flattery or whatever. but actually, if you look at the Cubs, I think that is a different approach. And what I mean by that is, you know, they were bad for a period of time and they were able to draft way up in the draft. And to their credit, they made good picks. And they did rebuild in that fashion. And now they're experiencing the fruits of that. I think what they're still hoping to do, and because I know they've said it, is to emulate the long-term sustainable competitiveness that we've enjoyed. And that's only going to be tested over time. And so that's what they're gunning for. We're still gunning for it. I mean, that's our goal, is sustained competitiveness over a long, long period of time. You know, and I think we've been able to do that for 20 years. Sure, there have been a few down years, but for the most part, particularly over the last decade, it's been a great run. And if we could do what we did to the next 10 years, what we've done the last 10, yeah, I'd take that and run. But it's hard because everybody's chasing you. The Cubs have arrived. The other teams in our division all have good rebuilding plans that they're setting in motion. And so it's a constantly moving and dynamic process that, you know, we need to, and Mo said this a lot, and my father said it, we need to push the envelope and be on the cutting edge. And that means not just doing the same thing year after year, it's finding new ways to do things to stay on top.
Bill, before we let you go, it would be a wasted opportunity to not at least try to needle you with the question I know you get and you have very deftly sidestepped in the past, and we've done little meetings and little presses like this. What's the next plan for Ballpark Village? I know you've been coy with how that's going to go forward or how it happens. Do you have any big news you want to break here or anything about what the next direction and that's going to be?
Well, I guess the big news is we're pretty close to being able to announce what we're doing. we can't do it yet just because, you know, that needs to be a process that involves a lot of different constituencies, whether it's the city or the state or the our partners at Cordish or whomever. You know, it's a big group of constituents that all work on this type of thing. But, you know, I haven't made a secret of it. We're trying to do a second phase. We think it's what we need here. We've got the great retail entertainment portion of the project already done. And I do believe if we do nothing else, it's still a great project. And, in fact, it's been cutting edge from MLB standpoint and other sports almost every team's come to visit what we've done and to see if there's something they could do to emulate aspects of it. Having said that, I'd love to get the Village in Ballpark Village, and that means residential. It means possibly some office, maybe even a hotel. It means some more retail, parking, et cetera. So, you know, we're pushing on all of that to try to create a phase two that will really complement and add to and really go beyond what's already been done in phase one. And so, you know, knock on wood, in the next few months, maybe we'll see some news on that, but, you know, not really capable or prepared to announce something today.
Well, we just want to let you know you have a place to come if you want to make any big announcements.
That's
regarding
right.
That
it's CBS.
Good to know.
Hey,
to know.
But, you know, I can use my cell phone and be on Twitter during the game. That's a big deal this summer for me when I go to the game. That means the world is, because the last few seasons I've been searching for a signal while the Cardinals been basically trying to drive in runners. So this is, it's a step forward, my friend, a step forward.
That's good. I'm glad you like it, Danny.
But, you know, I mean, one thing I thought about when I was coming here for this interview is that, you know, you guys have been around, as I said, 20 years. When you first stepped a foot in St. Louis, did you have plans that stretched outside of just baseball as you've done now with Ballpark Village? Was that always the plan, or did that kind of come together over the years?
That evolved. You know, it sort of came together later because we had no way of really envisioning on day one what our next venue would look like or where it would be or what sort of development opportunities might happen. So, you know, we first set out to, as you know, make a bunch of improvements to Busch 2, and we did that. And we, you know, also wanted to get back to competitive baseball, which we were able to do. And so we were riding that, you know, horse for a while, thinking everything was great. But as we got further along in Busch 2, we realized, you know what, this is not going to be the spot that we need to be in for the next, you know, 50 years, because of all the infrastructure and stuff that it's not worth going into now. We've already been through down that road. But basically, we knew we needed to do something different. And that's when the planning started for Busch 2, Busch 3. And then once the planning for Busch 3 moved along, we started debating and thinking through that vision of what else do we want to do. And that's when that came together in that Busch 3 planning process.
Well, Bill, we appreciate you taking some time to speak with us on CBS Sports Radio. You know, it's always good to kind of get an update, get the inside track on stuff. And the Winter Classic can't get here soon enough. And hopefully by the time they're doing that, hopefully we're talking about another surprise comeback from the Birds and, you know, celebrating some stuff before they get cold down at Busch Stadium.
I think you got a great idea there, Dan. Maybe, who knows, maybe we could like skate around on the rink with the World Series trophy hanging, you know, kind of like they do with the Stanley Cup.
Hey, as my good friend and co-host said, you got to shoot for the stars and be okay with the clouds. So we can do that. Thanks for joining us, Bill. We hope to get some breaking news when there is a time to do it. You know where to come.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Take care.
All right.
Thanks, Bill.
That was Bill DeWitt III talking about the Winter Classic and all the president duties that, you know, a lot of fans don't really know about. And, of course, Matt had to needle him in about a little bit of Ballpark Village. Hopefully he'll come here with that breaking news.
I needed to know. I mean, if he's going to have it there and he's going to be teasing new things coming up, you have to let him know at least he's got a home to come and make such an announcement. I mean, it's the least we could do. You know?
He plays on a line with Tom Stillman, and he could be on the same ice with Brett Hall come December 31st.
He should get in the game. He should play.
I think he is. I mean, Bill's, I tell you, you know, he's about 145 pounds circling web, so he must be able to fly out there.
Yeah,
so.
I believe it.
So we'll see it. But, you know, that's going to do it. Matt, are you going to be abandoning me tomorrow?
I am, man. I am. I've got to go. I've got
2 weeks and he's out, folks. See what happens?
I've got to go to the state of Mississippi tomorrow. So we'll see for the weekend.
Come on back.
Yeah, I'll do the best I can.
Well, tomorrow morning I'll be reviewing the new Jeff Bridges film, Jeff Bridges' Chris Pine film, How or High Water. I'll tell you if it's worth seeing or not. I'm hopefully going to have a review for you, and hopefully I'll save you some money or tell you to go spend it. You've been listening to Dose of Buffa on Thursday morning on CBS Sports Radio, Inside STL. If you'll be running around South City, St. Louis, come back tomorrow morning. It'll just be me.
But I think I can get you through it to the weekend.
They'll make just as much coffee as they will if I was.
They will. That Keurig's going to be working tomorrow morning. We'll see you tomorrow. If you brew the coffee, I'll be there for you.